Welcome to another episode of Tales from the DC Multiverse, the podcast. As always, I'm your host, Adam, and with me this week is my co-host, Ryan. Ryan, how's it going?
I'm doing pretty good. Getting over, well, trying to get through some. I don't think it's the big Rona, but, you know, I've come down with some kind of a little nasty bug that makes me feel like I'm going to break my own back and do Bane's job for me.
Oh, okay. That's
every time, yeah. Sneeze and cough, so.
Yeah, but if you're going to break your own back, you got to do the voice. I mean, you can't just do it just straight away. You got to do the Bane voice. I hope that you feel better quick. But yeah. We did have something last night to sort of make you forget last night.
I there were times where I did forget I was sick, so it was good. It was good.
And what I'm talking about is, of course, DC Fandom. We are through the first night of two nights. The second one will be on September 12th, and it will predominantly be television and, I'm assuming, comic panels. Mm-hmm. Because night one was largely, with the exception of a couple things which we'll touch on, was largely a movie night.
Mm-hmm.
So we've got a lot of cool stuff to break down. So let's get right into it. I'm gonna start off with video games because I know you're a big gamer. I am not, but I call myself in terms of video gaming a dabbler, and what that means is, I've played all the Arkham games, aside from Arkham games, I'm a sports game guy.
I was gonna say, Justice games or no?
Injustice, I played those two. Yeah, I have those two. Yeah, so I've played basically, what is it, five DC games, and then the rest is basically hockey. So that's my level of gaming, but you're a bigger gamer. But the reason I'm bringing up the video games is because we had two DC related video games discussed on the first night of Fandom. The first game was from WB Games Montreal, and that is Batman Gotham Knights. Now, Ryan, as a casual / non-gamer that I am, I don't know that I'm going to be spending, in all honesty, $500 on a next-gen system just to play this game, because that seems a little bit ridiculous. But I'm excited for it because it looks fascinating.
With the Gotham Knights one, at least that one, because it's coming out next year. Exactly when, they didn't say, they just said 2021. But it is going to be current and next gen.
So, oh, it is current. Okay,
so at least there will be like that, you know. So
okay, so good. I can buy it maybe. If I have, yeah.
I mean, okay. I know that between Joe and myself, we're going to end up getting PS5 and Xbox Series X at some point anyway.
Yeah.
I get it for someone who's a more casual gamer, you know, gamer like you, understand not wanting to put down $500 just for a $60. I get it. I understand.
Yeah.
But yeah, so at least it's good that there will be that crossover. It's been teased that it's going to be Court of Owls related.
Mm-hmm.
And what I kind of like was that the trailer, the Court of Owls almost seemed like an afterthought at the very end. You know, developers even said that it wasn't the mystery, you know, the main game mystery is going to be much more than just the court, which. I mean, okay, so if you saw the trailer, you know that it kind of starts off with something happens in Gotham and, you know, the Bat family gets a message saying that Bruce is dead.
Mm-hmm.
And just for clarification, this isn't set in the Arkhamverse. This is kind of like, this is a reboot, it's a new universe, whatever. And, you know, it follows Dick Grayson Nightwing, Jason Todd Red Hood, Tim Drake Robin, and Babs Barbara Batgirl. So it's, you know, the four of them having to step up and become, you know, kind of step into Batman's shoes, kind of, sort of.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think it looks a lot better than I was expecting. You know, I was worried that the Robin was going to be Damian, because I'm just not a Damian fan. I'm sorry. You know, I kind of wish that he had stayed dead after he was killed off, but yeah, we don't always get our wishes, do we, in comics?
This is true, yeah.
You know, there's not a whole lot that we know. I'm glad that there will... I'm not against multiplayer and online co-ops. It's just when developers for games want to make that the only way to play the game, that I have the issue. So, like, this is something that I could see Joe and I wanting to play, you know, together. But I'm also glad that there will be a single-player option as well. It does... One little weird nitpick I see is, okay, so there's four main playable characters. And play single player, you can pretty much kind of, like, you know, choose which, you know, can swap out which one of the four at any time you want. But for online co-op, they only have it narrowed down to two. And just, I don't know, it just seems kind of weird to me. You know, if you're going to have four characters, you know, kind of open it up to having four people play. I'm weird little nitpick. It's not going to affect my enjoyment of the game at all, because more times, you know, more likely than not, I'm just going to be playing this by myself, because I'm just more of a solitary gamer anyway.
Yeah. Fair enough. Fair. But yeah. But it does look great, like visually. It looks stunning.
Yep, the graphics look...
Oh, wow.
This may be my ADHD showing, but I love how shiny and pretty and brightly colored all the costumes are. I love the use of neon. I wonder if Joel Schumacher had an influence here. There was a lot of neon.
Hey, you never know. I mean, it could be a tribute to Joel for sure. you know, there were no nipples though on the suit, so
no nipples, thank God.
But yeah, I mean, like I said, visually stunning. The I mean, just it looks like you're watching a movie. And the, you know, the opportunity to play as one of the Bat family members, I think, is something that Batman fans have been asking for God knows how long.
And there have been, like, you know, side missions and challenges with the Arkham games where you can play as Catwoman, Nightwing, Robin, Red Hood, Harley Quinn, Batgirl, but you've never been able to play, like, in the main campaign, you know, like in the most recent Arkham Knight, you know, it was only, you know, certain missions that you could play as, well, not even play as Nightwing, but that you could, like, a team up with Nightwing or a team up with Robin. Whereas this, you can actually, like, interchange and, you know, you know what I mean? Yeah. You can.
Oh, yeah.
No. So it's interesting to have a quote unquote Batman game where you don't play as Batman.
Yeah.
And I think also another thing is, I think it's very interesting that this is what they intend to be the launch of a new Batman gaming franchise that may break the universe. I don't know. We'll see what happens. But that they're starting it off this way, you know.
They could do a Batman Beyond game eventually.
Was honestly what I thought this was going for when the trailer first started.
Yeah. But no, either way, it looks great. And at some point, I'll find a way to get a chance to play it at some point. Whether I buy it or a friend of mine buys it and I sort of just kind of, you know, play his version for a while. Off to an impressive start in that respect. The other game was Suicide Squad kills the Justice League. And this was literally all cinematic. Look, because it doesn't come out till 2022.
Which, that's going to be a long wait, but, I mean, yeah.
And I like that the characters kind of sort of share similarity to their movie counterparts.
Mm-hmm. It's understandable that they do, obviously, you know, corporate synergy, you know, for better or for worse, you know, it's a thing nowadays. My only complaint on that front, and I'm not the only one that's brought this up, I know some people I follow on Twitter did too. I and a lot of others had been led to think that Gotham Knights and Suicide Squad were both going to be the beginning of a new shared DC gaming universe. That's true for Gotham Knights. Apparently, for Suicide Squad, it's, you know, the developer said that it's a continuation of the Arkhamverse. Okay, cool. We finally get to see the Justice League and, you know, the bigger DC universe as it is in the Arkham universe. Okay, cool. That's awesome. Little tiny nitpick, and there will probably be a couple of people out there that will call me racist, but I'm just pointing out a continuity issue. Deadshot in the game, because they want synergy with the movie, is black. Deadshot in Origins and Arkham City is a white guy. I just want to know if that's going to be addressed at all. It, trust me, it is not going to affect my enjoyment of gameplay. It's just, are we going to, or are we just going to ignore that, you know, we're like, is Deadshot going to be like a legacy character, you know, something? I don't know.
Yeah, it is. I mean, it's a little, if it's supposed to be in continuity.
Yeah.
Did they not look at their last game? Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's cool either way. Yeah, at the end of the day.
Mm-hmm. It just kind of goes back to my, like, I get that we want, like, synergy with movie versions. Again, for better or for worse, that's up to each individual person to decide how they feel on that. But don't, like, in the middle of an ongoing continuity, don't race change just to fit them, just so that you can be like the movies.
Well, they did it, not the same way, but they kind of did it with between Batman 89 and Batman Forever. Billy Dee Williams turned into Tommy Lee Jones. Ryan.
Yeah.
I'm just kidding. I don't know what the thinking behind that is, but yeah, I can see why people are confused.
I don't have a problem with it. Yeah. Like, it was something that was obvious. Once they said that, oh, there's a continuation in the Arkhamverse, I just wanted to go, there's one little tiny detail.
Yeah.
But no, it's like, you know, it looks real cool, looks real fun.
I like the banter between the characters.
Uh-huh. I love that we're getting a lot of King Shark nowadays.
I just wish he had the Harley animated voice, because that would be funny.
It was every time King Shark was revealed with a Suicide Squad movie or the Suicide Squad game, Joe made a comment of, "You better be like the Harley Quinn King Shark, because I love King Shark."
It's pretty funny. And I also like the fact that because, you know, the title, the Suicide Squad kills the Justice League, is like, what, how, when, where? And they kind of explain it, where Brainiac is affecting Superman.
Yeah, I'm pretty certain that the title is just, you know, part of my language, but for shits and giggles. I don't think it actually is going to be you know, the Suicide Squad members having to kill to just incapacitate them because, yeah, it looks like, you know, you can kind of tell what the story is going to be is Brainiac invades Metropolis, Justice League, sans Batman because, you know, Arkham Knight goes in to try and stop them. They get possessed somehow. And the way I look at it is maybe part of the storyline is, okay, you know, the government says, okay, Justice League has been incapacitated. We're going to nuke Brainiac's skull ship in like 12 hours or something, you know, collateral damage be damned. And Amanda Waller goes, you know, wait, let me use Task Force X to try and, you know, solve it.
Yeah, there's no way that Warner Media allows the Suicide Squad to kill the Justice League.
Yeah, to actually, yeah. Because, you know, yeah, Captain Boomerang, Deadshot, Harley Quinn, King Shark, awesome characters. But they don't stand a chance against Superman.
Absolutely not. And he looked badass. So yeah, it looked pretty cool. Mm-hmm. Looking forward to again watching the story play out on YouTube because that one it is next gen.
And yeah. That one is sadly going to be exclusive to next gen.
I ain't spending $500+ on that. But
understandable. Yeah.
But it looks cool.
Another thing that caught me a little off guard was Captain Boomerang with speedster powers. I don't know if there's is there something in the comics with that or that you're aware of?
Not that I'm aware, no. I always thought he was a regular, you know, Joe Schmo.
Okay. But, all right. Well, we'll see how it plays out. I'm excited. You know, 2022 is going to be a long wait, but Gotham Knights to hold us over before.
Hey, can play the game and then go watch the Flash movie. You can make a day out of it. There you go. Play as Boomerang and then go watch the Flash, which will not have Boomerang in it. But yeah. Supposedly, but we'll see. But yeah, all right. So we'll move away from video games and we will transition into the world of live action film. First up was Wonder Woman, 1984, which feels like we've been waiting since 1984 for this movie, which I would have been 2 years old. So the podcast would have sounded a lot different. No, sorry, 1 year old. Would have been a lot of Google Gaga, but on the podcast. Actually, I think I was beyond that. But anyway, maybe I wasn't. Who knows? Who remembers? So, I mean, the panel was a lot of, you know, what was it like on set and la, 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 you know, all that kind of stuff. And the entire cast fawned over Linda Carter when she came on and asked a quote-unquote surprise question. I mean, the real meat and potatoes of the panel was the new trailer.
Mm-hmm.
I really like the trailer. I like the fact that it really emphasizes the inverse of the first movie, where in the first movie, it was Steve, you know, mentoring and showing Diana around the world, this new world that she was a part of. Now, it's the reverse, and Diana is mentoring Steve Trevor about the modern world, which proved to be really funny. Like when he was trying on modern, quote unquote, modern day clothing, and he puts on those parachute pants, and she's like, maybe we can find something else. And he's like, why you don't like? He's like, parachute pants. He goes, does everybody parachute nowadays? I thought that was funny.
I just loved him with the American flag fanny pack.
Yeah. I thought that was really funny. I really liked all the lasso jumping / flying shots. That was some cool stuff. I mean, it was extended beyond what we saw in the first trailer. And it looks really good. Of course, we got our first reveal of Cheetah.
Oh, what Wonder Woman doing humanoid cats better than cats.
Yeah, and I'm glad you brought that up because I was...
Trust me, I know a lot of people online were looking, you know, let's admit, you know, we didn't get a real, like, we got a bit of Cheetah, actual scene, Kristen Wiig, Barbara Minerva, Cheetah.
Yeah.
But we, even though we didn't get, like, a high-def still image, it's still better looking than cats.
Oh, right. Well, of course. Kitty litter is better looking than cats.
Oh, my.
But I was concerned when, you know, about Cheetah because of cats. So I'm glad that...
Yeah, I remember hearing some people say that, too, that they were... Yeah.
At least these scenes that they showed us were finished enough that, you know... They, mm-hmm. First of all, they better be finished. This film's been done for
a year.
A year. So I thought it looked really, really good considering, you know, cats and all that. And like I said, my only concern with not even a concern, my issue with Wonder Woman 84 is the fact that we should have seen this last year.
Yeah, that... Okay.
It's tempered my excitement. You know what I mean? It's tempered my excitement.
Hindsight is the 2020 thing. But I remember, like, 2 years ago when they pushed it back from November of 2019 to June of 2020. Because they said, oh, summer, you know, summer movies just, like, do better. And we had so many movies over the last decade have released in November, December, and have done fantastically.
If you make a good movie, it'll do well wherever you
put it. Exactly. I don't really buy the, you know, November, December movies don't do well argument.
Didn't Joker come out in October and make $1 billion?
Yep.
Yeah, so... Like I said, I'm looking forward to Wonder Woman. Of course, I'll see it. I don't know if it's going to be in theaters or not. Personally, if they release it in October,
I
probably won't be going to see it until it arrives on home video.
I guess it would personally kind of have to depend on comfort levels of obviously myself, my dad, who I always see all these movies with. See, like, what the local situation is.
I have a feeling that Tenet will be a testing ground.
Yeah,
because I'll be right on it. I'll be honest with you. I think Tenet's gonna bomb hard money wise.
It's gonna bomb hard because
not because it's a bad movie or anything.
Trust me, Chris. I understand. I'm with Christopher Nolan. I love the theatrical experience, and I want to go back to that normal. But now is not the time to push it.
Right.
You know. And yeah.
I think if that doesn't do well, Warner Bros. Is going to say, "All right, what are we doing here?" And here's the thing. If Patty Jenkins, man, maybe it's not her, I don't know who it is, but if Patty Jenkins is so dead set on theatrical, then create a two-pronged situation where you release it theatrically for people who are comfortable, and you release it at a premium purchase price for people who don't feel comfortable going to a theater.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I would, how I would do it.
There's got to be something that we can do. I don't have the answers, of course, but we've got to, I don't know, find some kind of way that until the pandemic is under control and it's no longer even classified as a pandemic, you know. I understand, you know, the people that are, who love the theatrical experience, who are worried about going to, you know, straight to video on demand and paying through Amazon or whatever, the premium thing.
Yeah.
Like, happened with Trolls. And my God, my family and I, we watched The Invisible Man.
Wait a minute, they made a movie about online commentators called Trolls?
No, this one actually seemed to be full of joy and not just blind hatred.
Oh, okay. It's a different thing then.
Uh-huh. And, you know, maybe, you know, this movie studios and movie theaters come to some kind of understanding, like, we're doing this just until the pandemic is not even over with, because coronavirus is going to be with us for a long time. It's just until we can get to the point where it can be controlled and enough people have
a vaccine some
kind of immunity through herd immunity or through vaccines, whatever, so that it's no longer the threat that it currently is.
Yeah, exactly.
No, coronavirus will be with us for decades and decades, but getting it under control, we can do it within a year.
Yeah, it won't be a pandemic forever. That's the thing.
That's why I know we're going a little tangent, but seeing people like freaking out, saying like, "Oh, I'm gonna wear masks and face shields for the rest of my life." It's like, I hate wearing masks now, but I do it because it's not only because I have to, but because it's the right thing to do. But I'm not gonna live in fear for the rest of my life over this. Once the pandemic is declared over with, and we no longer have to wear all this stuff, I'm not going to, because I'm not in fear.
Right. It's just right this second, and in the next couple months, we're gonna have to be, mm-hmm. So yeah,
we might have the beginnings of a rollout of everything I've read and heard seem to indicate. You know, through Dr. Fauci, and Fauci I trust, mm-hmm. Who's like leading the charge on this, at least here in the States, mm-hmm. We might get a vaccine, the start of a rollout, I'll put it, by the end of this year, early next year. So we just have to wait a little bit longer.
Yeah. So it'll start rolling out like a transformer, like I said, I'll have to wait and see. I'll see it eventually, whether it be, I've waited this long. If I have to wait till it comes on home release, mm-hmm. so be it. I enjoyed the trailer. This is my final word on it. I enjoyed the trailer. Still going to see it. Of all the movie related things we saw yesterday, this is probably the one that I was least hyped about after the event.
Because it's weird to think that we're getting a second trailer for a movie that should have come in June.
Also, can I say, not to be overly negative, but those extra Wonder Woman panels, like the revealing the 80th anniversary logo and the cast playing a game, were an absolute waste of time.
The logo should have been done during the movie panel.
So it should have been playing the game. If you want to waste, half an hour, 45 minutes playing a game, do it all in one panel.
It gave me a chance to go to the bathroom and make food and take a shower.
I get it. I did the same things. I'm just saying. You could have put one of the other TV panels in there instead of having all that junk. So there's Wonder Woman 1984. We then got what I found interesting was a Flash panel. For the movie, the Flash movie. It was about, 10 minutes?
Uh-huh.
But they gave us quite a bit in that 10 minutes. The Flash will be the first movie that truly opens up the multiverse on film.
Cinematically. I always kind of want to put that little asterisk in.
Yeah, on film. I get what you're saying. Yeah, because technically TV is Anyway, but cinematically.
The Flash movie is going to do for the movie side of things what Crisis on Infinite Earths
did. Exactly. Very well said, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
We got concept art of... Or first of all, we got told that Flash is getting a new costume for this movie. And we got concept art of it. And I really like what I saw.
Mm-hmm.
It's very streamlined. looking more in keeping with the comic book costume.
Well, and also it helps that Ezra is Barry, you know, took some inspiration from a little trip he made.
Yeah, which is confirmed that
that was one of my that multiverse panel with Berlanti, Walter Hamada, and Jim Lee was surprisingly one of my favorite panels of the night because
I figured that it would be because they said that you know what you've always been saying, that's knocked down the rule of, well, you can't have a movie person on TV or you can't have a character.
Officially that stupid edict I've hated for so long is finally gone. They're now open. You know, they're obviously not going to force it, but they're open-minded to more, you know,
potential
crossovers between movie and TV.
Jason Momoa isn't going to show up in Legends of Tomorrow.
But if the Arrowverse wants to cast, not for their own shows, but just to have them in the universe, you know, their own Wonder Woman, Green Lantern, while we're getting Diggle. Wonder Woman, Aquaman. Awesome. You know, bring it. Let's get a Wonder. Let's see if Adrian Pilecki wants to have.
Great minds do think alike, and I was gonna actually say that.
Because I really like the Adrian Pilecki suit. I really did.
And you know what? Spoilers. And I think you know where I'm gonna go here, Ryan.
She's one of the wives.
She's on the list. Yeah.
Of course.
Come on, it's been a while since I've done that with you.
I know. And another great little piece of info that they dropped was the DCEU and Arrowverse Flash's meeting in Crisis wasn't just a one-off gag for the TV show. No. Jim Lee and Hamada said that Ezra Miller's Barry, the cinematic Barry, is going to take on the name of the Flash because of his meeting with Grant Gustin. That moment in Crisis on Infinite Earths is now canonical with the DCEU.
Yeah.
And that made me so happy to hear.
Yeah, I figured it would. So we got a concept art of the suit. And the other piece of concept art we got was the Flash, Ezra Miller, standing next to Flash fighting side by side with Batman, specifically. Michael Keaton's Batman.
That suit was, the Batman shown was clearly meant to be the Keaton version.
And you could tell because of the ears, the length of the bat ears, and also the bat being in the yellow oval. And if that is a hint, Ryan, that he's going to suit up in that costume, sign me, take my money right now. I will PayPal Andy Muschietti right this second, if I could, because I'm here for that. The other news that Steven and I touched on in a vidcast, but I haven't touched on with you, is that, yes, Michael Keaton is confirmed to be Batman in The Flash. However, there's another Batman appearing in The Flash. And that
they're bringing Adam West back from the dead.
Well, close. There was talk about them using that CGI like they were going to do with James Dean. But no, I'm kidding. The other Batman if they can find footage of Adam West working on the back computer and put it in when Barry's going through the Speed Force, I'll take it. But no, the other Batman we're speaking of is none other than Ben Affleck. He signed a deal to return for the Flash movie. So, Ryan, how are you feeling about that?
Well, as a Batfleck fan, I'm just happy and ecstatic. I know that it's not going to be Ezra and Ben and their misadventures of the multiverse, but I mean, I'm not going to say I called it because I didn't. But when the Snyder Cut was officially announced back in May, I remember telling you guys and going onto Twitter and Facebook saying that now that this is actually happening, I think it's a lot more likely for Ben, if he feels up to it, to come back. Because back in January of 2019, when he said, I forgot who it was, but he went, goes, I'm not Batman.
Jimmy Kimmel,
yeah. He was in a very rough part of his life, you know. Not just all the, won't even go into it, but just all the BS going on with what happened with Justice League.
Yeah.
He was going through health issues, personal family issues, and all that and whatnot. Fast forward a year and a half or more, things are a lot better for him. He looks better. He's, you know, we saw him on the, you know, the Snyder Cut panel last night. He seems happier. He seems, so I always thought that, you know, now with the Snyder Cut happening again, that if, that maybe he won't want to write and direct and start, you know, do the trifecta for something Batman related. But if he wants to come back to the role, I think, like, nowadays, obviously, you know, he would say yes. And look what happened a couple of days ago. You know, he's coming back. He seemed, because in the interview, Andy Muschietti, I think I said the name right.
Yeah.
They were kind of nervous to ask him, and he seemed thrilled at the idea. So yeah. I don't know if they're going to go the full Flashpoint route and have this be the last of Ben's time in the role. I don't know, because now that we're open-minded to the multiverse, I guess we'll see what happens.
I think it'll be on a case-by-case basis with Affleck.
Yeah. So, personally, I don't think that's the case. I think they will leave it a little bit more open-ended. I guess we'll see, you know, if Ben wants to do anything more with, like the HBO Max thing that's been.
Yeah, if there's more Snyder Cut.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if there's more of that potentially, or, you know, yeah, if he does his own script and turns it into an HBO Max thing, you could always do that. Even if this role is a sort of goodbye to to this branch of the multiverse. Well, the Snyder Cut stuff exists in a separate branch. So, theoretically, you could tell those stories before the Flash movie.
Yeah.
Chronologically.
Yeah, you could always have the, you know, Batfleck solo adventures or whatnot be before, you know, kind of set it in between BVS and Justice League if you want. But, yeah, I got.
Yeah. But for now, I think we should just be happy that he's back.
Mm-hmm. 2020 is a very chaotic year, and a lot of it has been negative.
Yeah, the real world is a shit. It's shit outside our front doors. But in terms
Snyder cut stuff, Ben coming back. This is the good kind of chaos that I like.
Exactly. There's the real world is in shambles, but the fan world is a happy place right now.
This is the good that has come out of this chaotic year, and I'm grateful for it. So, I'm very happy that we'll get to see, outside of just Snyder Cut Justice League, but that we'll actually get to see more Ben in the suit. So
that's all we really know about the Flash, but I'm certainly excited for it. It's one of my most anticipated DC films that we know is coming.
I still hold the tiniest of grudges against the Flash movie because it was supposed to come out on July 1st, my birthday of 2022, but then they moved it to June, so I'm just a little bitter. But
if they give you a good movie, I'm sure you'll
I know.
Forget. All right, so we got two shorter panels, which was the Shazam panel and the Black Adam panel. Now, in the Shazam one, it was just a tongue-in-cheek kind of thing for the most part.
It was cute with the kids and a couple of the adult actors.
Yeah, and what's his name? The main
Ben Bad guy. Suddenly showing up.
Yeah, I know. But also the main guy that plays Billy, asking if they could be inserted into the Snyder Cut via CGI. That was kind of funny. Mm-hmm. But they did announce something relevant, which was the title for the sequel to Shazam. And the name of that movie will be Shazam, Fury of the Gods. I really love that title. What do you think, Ryan?
Why are the gods so angry?
Yeah.
What did Mr. Mind do?
Why is so serious, in fact, you can ask.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, because I think, you know, the post-credits scene kind of Shazam tease that Mr. Mind will probably be the main antagonist. Which will be so funny to think of, you know, big hunking Shazam having to fight a little caterpillar.
Yeah.
But it's, why are they so angry?
Yeah. And do you think Sinbad will actually take a role in it in some way or form? I think so. I mean, imagine him as the voice of the talking tiger.
I wouldn't be opposed to it.
Yeah.
I have nothing against Sinbad.
Me neither.
Yeah, I was just really surprised to see him and be like, what the heck does he have to do with all this? But okay.
Why are you here? But it was cool.
All right, let's hopefully, you know, start shooting on this film early.
Yeah.
Because some of these kids are starting to grow facial hair. And
I know, it was kind of disturbing, if you ask me.
It was weird. Yeah.
It was really weird. But that's pretty much all we got from Shazam. But we did get the Black Adam panel, which was slightly longer. A lot of it focused on concept art. That was by both Jim Lee and Boss Logic. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And it gave you a good hint of the tone, which is impressive. It's going to go back into his origins, talk about his time of slavery and how he conquered that, and how he became, you know, how he rules Kandak, and that's going to put him in opposition with certain characters, specifically the JSA. And he confirmed.
Finally, official confirmation that
yes.
Hawkman, Dr. Fate, Cyclone, and, well, we knew about Atom Smasher, but
yeah.
Now just official, you know, knowing that it's going to be the JSA versus Black Adam.
It's all official. Noah Centineo will play Atom Smasher, and they brought him on the call, and they just talked about his workout regime. It was nothing, you know, earth-shattering. And then The Rock did something, you know, where he basically, a fan asked the question of, you know, if you could have an adventure with a DC character, who would it be? And he said, well, there are two answers. First being Wonder Woman, which he kind of made a playful remarks about. And then, as he said, the second answer, he changed his tone a little bit, got a little bit more serious. And he said Superman. And at the end of the panel, he also put all the DC Universe on notice that, you know, the hierarchy of power is changing.
And again, I love that becoming his, like, I guess, catchphrase.
Yeah. Well, I can't bid you smell what Black Adam's cooking because, I don't know, there may be copyright infringement there. But at the end, so he calls out all the DC heroes and then, of course, left Superman again for last. And again, his demeanor changed a little bit when you mentioned Superman. So, Ryan, what I'm asking you is this. Do you think his demeanor change when discussing Superman is a hint that maybe we'll see Henry Cavill in this film?
I don't... If I had to be honest, I don't know if it's going to be this movie. Only because it's the JSA, and the JSA, the DCEU JSA, supposed to be concurrent with the Justice League? Because I thought, Ellie, or my assumption when JSA rumors first started spreading was that because of it being the JSA, that it would be a period piece movie, like in the 30s, or it would be set in the 30s or 40s, not necessarily present day.
Well, apparently, from what I've heard, is we're going to get both. We're going to get a partly a period piece where we see the first era of the JSA, and then it's going to transition to modern day, which is the, you know, the current
iteration. So that they would, have the Justice League and Justice Society be working not together, but
they'd be concurrent. Yeah, they'd be
contemporaries of each other.
Yeah,
they'd be okay. That's happened in the past. I don't mind. There's still a part of me that's thinking that with what they set up with, even though it was done as just a gag, now that again things have changed. Or at least things are different now that they were a year or two ago. Maybe some kind of mentorship between Superman and Shazam. Go on.
Yeah, I honestly think it'd be smarter to put him in Shazam 2 first. Only because with Henry's schedule, he'd probably have better luck working out a scenario with Shazam 2 than Black Adam.
Well, I was, because, okay, so what they wanted, what they've always, the plan apparently has always been is Shazam, Black Adam, Shazam 2, and then Shazam 3 would be Shazam versus Black Adam. Yeah. What I thought they would do is put Superman in Shazam 3, so that it would be those three together.
Well, either way, it works, because it'd give Henry more time to work out his schedule. Yeah. Huh? Yeah. But I think the intention is there at the very least to get Henry into this franchise of Superman at some point.
Mm-hmm. Because this has been something that's been teased. Because for God's sakes, The Rock being cast as Black Adam, that was 2013, 2014. Long before any of these other movies or characters were ever set in stone or planned.
It was before BVS, for God's sake.
Exactly. So it's just finally, after almost a decade of this, we finally have some, it's finally going to happen. It's coming.
Finally, The Rock has come to Kendak. It's
basically. Finally, we can smell what he's cooking.
Yeah. Unless you have allergies and your nose is stuffed up, then you shit on luck. But yeah. that's pretty much all we got for Black Adam. But the concept art looks great.
Mm-hmm. The Black Adam is phenomenal. I can't wait. I wonder if that was... Could you tell if that was comic book art for the JSA? Or?
I think that was all done by Boss Logic, but I could be wrong.
Okay, because I'm wondering if...
Yeah, Boss Logic and Jim Lee, I should say.
Which I just got to give it up, because I love Boss Logic. I think
he does great work,
He is... It is ridiculous how impressively talented he is. So I'm just glad that he's...
When his posters were better than most official posters, it's like, yeah, you should probably hire this guy.
And I'm glad that, and he is one of these, how do I want to describe it? He is like the example of, he's not picking sides. He has done official work for Marvel and for DC. Yeah. So, Why can't more people be like that?
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Agreed. Yeah. So another movie that we got to look at was The Suicide Squad. It was a behind the scenes kind of look. And there are the returning characters, Harley, Rick Flag,
Waller,
Boomerang. And then there's a whole host of new characters, and most of them I have no idea who they are.
I would say half of them I've heard in passing.
I mean, we've got King Shark, who I know.
Of course, you know, the King Shark multiverse and into the King Shark verse.
Yeah, we've got Idris Elba's playing who again?
Bloodsport with
Bloodsport. Yeah.
I'm get from you know how they kind of hyped him up in that panel. His character's claim to fame is an attempted assassination on Superman.
Yeah.
So I wonder if they're gonna maybe not bring Henry into Suicide Squad, but bring that little tidbit.
You probably
that this guy was dumb enough. This guy was dumb enough to think he could try and kill Superman.
Yeah. Then there's Weasel, which is literally exactly.
I've never heard of this character before in my life.
And he's played by Sean Gunn, who also played Rocket, or the physical manifestation of Rocket.
Yeah, so, yeah, he did on set motion capture for Rocket, but in Guardians, Kraglin.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we'll see. But that's going to be the Rocket of this franchise. Then we've got Nathan Fillion, who's playing... I can't remember.
Well, the movie is called TDK or something.
Yeah.
It's supposed to be, I don't even remember the comic book version. It's that guy that, like, his limbs fall off easily or something.
Yeah. And then John Cena, and we could see him in the trailer. I had to do it. Is playing Peacemaker.
Which and I love that. He described it as douchey Captain America.
Yeah, which I had a laugh at.
To which I want to reply, so Ultimate Universe Captain America?
Pretty much, yeah. But not the one with the breasts, like Rob Liefeld draws him. And then we have Michael Rourke. Michael Rourke.
You got Mickey Rourke mixed up in there.
Yeah, whatever. They're all the same. Yeah, but Michael Rooker is who is he playing in?
Savant, which again is a character I've never
heard. Then there's a female. I think she's a UFC fighter. Playing a Mongal.
Is this character supposed to have some kind of reference or ties to
Yeah, Mongol? There is, but I can't remember the relation now off the top of my head.
Are we bringing in Mongol? Really?
There is, and then there is a relation, but I just can't remember it. And then there is Ratcatcher.
Specifically Ratcatcher 2, because Ratcatcher is apparently a character that needs a legacy.
Yeah, because the first Ratcatcher is a man,
mm-hmm.
and this Ratcatcher is a woman.
Mm-hmm.
But
you know, they've done the gender. I don't have any problem with
it
being a gender bent thing. It's just really Ratcatcher 2, not just okay.
And especially on a tertiary or fourth, you know, mm-hmm. area character. Yeah. And then, did I miss anybody?
Pete Davidson is playing Blackguard again. It almost seems like a.
He's dead. He'll be dead.
It's like he almost seems like a. Like a, and I. There's no way for me to not say this kind of meanly. It almost seems like a poor man's Deadshot, just based off.
Yeah.
And Peter Capaldi.
The Thinker,
which I was really surprised to see that. I was like, oh, hi, William, or what was it, Clifford DeVoe?
Yeah.
I was like, huh.
Yeah.
Are you going to try and drop any freaking satellites on Central City?
Yeah, and that was cool. And there's also the guy from The Dark Knight.
Oh yeah, I can't even say his full.
Neither can I. But he's also an Ant-Man, and he's playing Polka Dot Man.
The guy that played Abracadabra in Flash. Yeah.
Yeah.
Which we're doing Polka Dot.
So Ryan, do you think it's fair to say that all these no-namers that we've never heard of, aside from the original cast from the first Suicide Squad will probably get killed off at some point?
I would say most of them. I wouldn't be surprised if they kept a couple around. Like, I think, you know,
King Shark will survive.
Okay, oh, God. If he doesn't, if King Shark dies, I'm going to riot.
Yeah. Don't kill King Shark.
Because I love King Shark.
Yeah, don't kill.
I mean, I loved King Shark before the Harley Quinn animated show, but my God, did Harley Quinn give me, like, a great King Shark. Just let King Shark have his moment.
I agree.
Yeah, I would say most of them die. I'm sure, like, Pete Davidson's character will die, Nathan Fillion.
Yeah.
You just don't really know who's... That's the whole point of the Suicide Squad. You just don't know who's safe and who's not.
And it looks very much like there are a lot of explosions.
Mm-hmm. Well, what I loved about
Michael Bay would have got excited over this
trailer. I know, and I got excited. So, yeah, let's take that for what it is. The 2 minute behind the scenes thing we got described it as like a 70s era war movie.
And it looked like that. It definitely did.
Mm-hmm. It did.
And I think this thing is going to be violent. Like this could be rated R, Ryan.
There's a part. I'll say it this way. I wouldn't be surprised. I don't think so. But if they announced it, I would be like, okay, I see it. Yeah.
The only reason I say is because I mean we saw a scene of King Shark about to put a guy's head in his mouth.
Mm-hmm. I mean, not even Killer Croc did that.
Yeah. So. But it looks really good. Like, and again, what I like about it is that it looks like, you know, it's got the connective tissue from the first mm-hmm. one, but it's also yep. its own tone and adventure, all on its own. So I like that.
Okay, one thing I have to say that I'm actually like pleasantly surprised about was, based off of like behind what we had kind of heard. How do I want to describe it?
I don't know.
like set leaks and, you know, set photos and all that, wasn't a whole lot of Harley Quinn, which had, and with how Birds of Prey ended, it had kind of let me think that Harley was not going to have that big of a role in this movie. But it looks like she's going to be in this as much as in the first movie.
Oh,
like,
yeah, I think so.
Like, something happens in between Birds of Prey and this Suicide Squad that she gets captured again, sent back to prison, and gets picked again.
Yeah.
I wonder if they're going to even reference Cassandra and...
I hope not.
Yeah, just... You don't have to have, like, a whole big thing. Just, like, a line of dialogue or just one or two lines of dialogue just to kind of see, like, oh, Cassandra's doing this now. Just... You know, just for that connect, you know, like just for the connective tissue, like you said.
Yeah, I hear you. Mm-hmm. But you know what I like about James Gunn? And with this movie specifically, he's going full comic book look.
Yes.
Like, he's not afraid of it. It's just, it is what it is. This is the comic. Deal with it. And
I'm sorry. I really love how Boomerang looks in this movie compared to the first one.
Yeah,
and I like the first Suicide Squad. I defend it, but
me too. You know, I enjoyed it. Yeah.
And
Harley looks like she's wearing her Injustice outfit.
Uh huh. I mean, and again, going back to what I was saying about Harley, me thinking that Harley wasn't going to be in this a lot. The only thing I had personally seen, like of set photos and whatnot, was of her in the red wedding dress, and that's why I didn't even know she was going to be in the movie.
Which she married me in Unearth 2, by the way, just to throw you.
Oh, my God. Oh,
throw that out there. But yeah, no, it's...
Mm-hmm. I love her suit. I love that. Yeah, it is like an Injustice Arkham mix, and it is a thing of beauty.
Yeah. Yeah, I much prefer this look than what we got her in Birds of Prey.
This, out of the three movies we've had her in, this is already just that, you know, red and black leather or whatever is my favorite Harley Quinn costume.
Agreed. Yeah. Yeah. So I'm looking forward to the Suicide Squad quite a bit, actually.
Yes.
It's gonna be a fun time. It's gonna be a fun time watching that one. All right. So from there, basically the final two courses of the evening. First up being Zack Snyder's Justice League trailer.
Mm-hmm.
Ryan. Wow.
To quote the trailer, hallelujah.
Hallelujah indeed. I mean, this is the movie we were being sold.
Yep. Mm-hmm. As much as I really like a theatrical cut, this is the movie we should have gotten in 2017.
Yeah, 100%. And, you know, there are moronic people out there that are trying to say this is exactly the same movie, just with a couple of different shots. No, that's not what this is. And right from the get-go, it opens with a shot of Darkseid wielding an axe at somebody or something. Holy crap. He looks good.
Mm-hmm.
He looks really good. Unfortunately, we didn't hear him speak because three quarters of the movie was dubbed or played to the Hallelujah song.
Mm-hmm.
But looking at him, he looks great. We also saw Desaad.
I was kind of surprised. I was like, okay, who's this cloaked? Oh my god, I think that's Desaad.
Yeah,
Steppenwolf, obviously, we know it's, you know, Zach wanted to go with Steppenwolf. Not
a spiky effer, apparently.
What?
A spiky effer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to think of where would Desaad fit in, you know? I'm not complaining. I think Desaad looks great.
I think it's probably a conversation with Darkseid. So we're actually going to see Apocalypse in this movie.
So we know Ciaran Hinds is Steppenwolf. Crap, I'm forgetting the guy that is voicing Darkseid.
Ray Porter?
Yes. I haven't heard anything about anyone cast as a voice for Desaad.
There is somebody, but I can't remember who it is. But that it was interesting seeing him. We saw... I'm trying to think of new shots that we saw. We saw
the black suit Superman.
Black suit Superman coming out of the Kryptonian scout ship,
and that flying punch to Steppenwolf.
Yeah, there was also a couple new cyborg shots.
Which the hole with Silas that probably wrecked me.
And seeing a tear fall from half of Cyborg's face, the human half, is...
Did you see in the back and standing behind Cyborg? I think that's Steppenwolf.
Wasn't it Flash?
No, there is a shot of him like doing like the slow walk forward that has Flash. You're right. But in the scene where Silas is in the containment unit with the mother box... It looks like he's about to be disintegrated.
Okay.
Yeah, you can quickly see standing behind Cyborg as Steppenwolf.
Okay, all right, cool. You know, we get a shot of Martha and Lois at her apartment, which we never saw. We, of course, get the shot that we saw in previous of Barry Allen saving Iris West.
Mm-hmm.
And... in that scene, Kiersey Clemons gives him quite the look. She seems very enamored. Either that or she's about to tell him, we are the Flash. The jury's out on that.
Stop it.
Somebody on Vero, can you ask Zach something on Vero? I may sign up just to ask him this question. Does Iris ask Barry when he saves her, does she say, we are the Flash? Because if she does, I may be out. But so we see that. There's a shot of the whole league together. It's like, it's basically the end of what kind of what we saw at the end of the theatrical version. But instead of those weird ass purple flowers.
Which I could, you could do a headcanon for making it look right. But I'm not going to be one of these people that's like, oh, look what Zack Snyder did. It is so much better. It's
yeah, but no, but the only reason I say those weird ass purple flowers is because I don't understand what was going on there. Like, I still don't understand what they, what exactly was
it. And it became, you know, life. I don't.
I was confused about that. But seeing, you know, the bad helicarrier, because that's what I'm calling it.
Mm-hmm. You know, no, it's the Flying Fox.
I forgot what it was called. Sorry, the Flying Fox. I like the bad helicarrier. Screw it. That's what I'm calling it. But yeah, seeing it, you know, come and sort of pick them up. But seeing the whole league together like that again, oh, just with Superman in his black suit, looks kind of cool. Looks really cool. Flash running through the Speed Force.
Flash going quantum too, where he's not even running, he's just standing still and like time is changing or whatnot. There's also a weird shot of Human Victor wearing his the Letterman jacket, like controlling missiles.
That was confusing, but it looked cool.
It did, and I'm sure it'll make sense when we see it in context.
And Cyborg smashing the tank is back in.
Mm-hmm.
Body checks the tank. That's back in. At the end of the trailer, after the title card, we see, you know, the league is talking about presumably Steppenwolf, or it could be Darkseid, one of the two. And the Flash is saying, you know, this guy is really dangerous. He's probably conquered a lot of the worlds that he's visited, or something along those lines.
Yeah. Barry specifically says, you know, he's fought other, you know, superpowered people on the other planets. He's conquered.
Yeah. And then Ben Affleck's Batman says, "I don't care how many hells he's conquered. He hasn't fought against us. Not united." And I'm like, yes, that is a motivational Batman speech.
I'm so glad we have context for, because that's been a reoccurring theme with Zach's Ink to the People campaigns and T-shirts. Was the hasn't faced us before, not us, not all of us united.
Yeah.
So.
No, it was really cool. I can't wait. I can't wait. It looks amazing. Looks fun. And we got confirmation that it's going to be 4 1-hour parts. And then
which will then there also be the option to watch it as a whole movie.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Zach isn't making us choose. He's going to be, if you want as a miniseries, if you want as a movie, you get to have both.
So well, I think they're going to let the series run its course first and then.
Which that's something I'm wondering. Are they going to do it one episode a week? Or are they going to do it the Netflix way and drop it all?
They haven't announced, but my thinking in terms of, well, how would the bean counters want this? And that is probably they'll drop it once a week to keep subscribers.
And then probably the week after the last one is when there's the, you know, here's the option to watch it as one whole movie instead.
Yeah. So. But you know how they could keep subscribers after the four parts air?
Mm-hmm.
Announcing a season 2. I just throwing that out there.
Well, you're talking about that the HBO Max account, you know, the official saying, you know, one step at a time.
It's not out of the realm of possibility.
Again, the fact that this is even happening, this is the good case. This is the chaotic good of 2020.
Yeah, this is the good stuff. Let's bottle this and keep this shit going. You know, call Brainiac. Don't bottle this crap up and let's keep it rolling.
If you know, we're thinking ahead of ourselves here, but if they go that route, you know, let's. let's build up on the Legion of Doom. Because part of that couldn't have been just Joss. You know, I think that, you know, the Lex stuff.
Well, Zack shot that scene.
Okay, so that, again, so let's have that be the sequel or season two or whatever the hell Zack was.
Okay, well, let's remember, though, Ryan, that Justice League Part 2 is written. Mm-hmm. So that would be season two.
Yeah, but I'd always thought that Zack's whole big thing was New Gods. Just focusing on the New God stuff.
I don't know how much of that would have been all New God. And let's be honest, I'm at the point where I'll believe a New Gods movie is happening when I see it.
Well, I'm not saying the New Gods movie. I'm saying that what Zack wants to do with Man of Steel, Batman vs. Superman, and originally his 2 or 3 part Justice League was the League versus New Gods. That's what I was referring to.
Oh, okay, I see it.
Yeah, that's why I always thought that the big plan was not that he was going to do New Gods be the first movie, Legion of Doom second movie, maybe bring the gods back again. I don't know.
Yeah, but
I'm with you. It's getting to the point where, you know, like we were with the Flash a couple years ago. I'll believe that the New Gods movie is actually happening when they start filming it.
Yeah. Nothing against it. It's already starting off on a bad foot because it's got Tom King writing it. So there's that. At least for me.
All you liked is Mr. Miracle run.
I do, but I still don't trust him until it scares me. Because I can imagine Big Barda and
Barda and Scott and
saying, having these short form cutesy names for each other. That's it. Yeah. Anyway. So Zack Snyder's Justice League looks phenomenal.
Mm-hmm.
And give me more. I want more. I want to see more.
And like I said at the beginning of this, as I put out on Twitter last night, I love the theatrical cut. I'm going to still keep watching it even after this. Yeah. But, oh my God, does this look great.
Yeah, agreed.
This is the movie I wish we had gotten.
Yeah.
My only concern and nitpick, I really hope Superman wears the red and blue towards the end.
I have a feeling that was going to be something that was saved for the next part.
Because I'm still kind of, because the black suit, it had a specific purpose in the comic book, in the death of Superman, you know, Reign of the Superman story. And they're not going to be using it for that. They're not going to be using that aspect of the story. Which is fine. You don't need to adapt everything. Which is why I kind of go back to the deleted scene that we got on the theatrical cut DVD, home video of just the black suit hanging up, quote unquote hanging up, in one of the chambers and whatnot. And he looks over and sees it. I thought that would have been just leave it at that. That's a perfect homage and reference. Let's just, I should just let Zack tell the story and where we know and see where it all goes. But come on, I don't know. I just really love the red and blue classic,
Yeah, I get that. But we'll see where it goes. From everything I've heard, the red and blue would be back in the next part. So we'd have to wait. So hopefully hopefully that gets season two, like I said. Season two.
All we can say, but we'll see what happens next year.
And the fact that we're seeing it at all is an exciting proposition.
It's something that I didn't think was gonna happen this soon. I probably had always thought that we would see it like in
10, 20 years.
Yeah, same. I was on along those lines too.
But, you know, 4 years after release, after the release of when it should have originally, it's long, but it's not bad. It's rather short.
Yeah. I mean, it's almost like the time in between some movies, like The Dark Knight, The Dark Knight Rises took 4 years. So, So it's not that bad. Now, the final panel slash trailer that we want to discuss is, of course, Matt Reeves' The Batman. Now, Ryan, I just want to say that I could listen to Matt Reeves talk about Batman from now till eternity.
I love listening to people geek out about stuff that they're very passionate about and stuff that they're incredibly happy. And one thing I just want to, you know, mention was in the Snyder Cut panel, Zach praising Matt Reeves and what he's going to do, and Matt Reeves praising what Zach did.
Yeah.
So it's because there's the people that's like, oh, I'm not going to watch it because it's not Batfleck, you know, blah, blah, blah. It's this petty tribalism. It sucks when it's Marvel versus DC, but it also, it's to me, sucks even more when it's within the same company brands.
Yeah.
But you just can't get over your strict preference.
For especially when the directors are supportive of each other.
Yes. There we go. Like all, you know, David Ayer and James Gunn.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
But yeah, I love listening to Matt talking about, you know, that this is specifically year two, the Gotham, the GCPD show that he's developing is going to be year one. Yeah. One thing that I made mention that I think I posted to Twitter, I can't remember, but I did talk about it when I brought it up with other people, was I got a sense of, based off of how Reeves was talking about origin stories and, you know, we're seeing characters not really be who they're supposed to be just yet. I got a Marvel Netflix kind of vibe in that the Batman sounds like it'll be more origin story for Penguin and Riddler and Catwoman.
Well, more so, yeah, I get what you're saying, but I think that's specifically because he said that the Penguin is the Penguin, but he doesn't like being called the Penguin.
Which I
mean, who would like being called that? But anyway.
I remember from the Gotham show was that he hated it at first, but then
he then embraced it. I think you could definitely see that origin angle happening more specifically with Catwoman and Riddler,
which I think we'll get a proper Catwoman suit, but I love that her mask is just, you know, like the what's that material called? Like a ski mask kind of thing?
Yeah, but it makes the small cat ears.
It has little cat ears. That's adorable.
And it's very much like year one kind of thing.
Right? Which Zoe Kravitz did say that was part of her reading material was Batman Year One.
Yeah. And for the Riddler, I mean, sure. Okay, he's not wearing, at least right now, the friggin' top hat and the cane. The cane. But everything else he's doing is Riddler. Like, that's...
And it's... you know, I saw a lot of people throwing around comparisons to this being, like, Seven, but with Batman. Yeah. We're getting a really sick, twisted, serial killer Riddler.
Oh yeah. Especially with the riddles and the clues that he leaves behind, that's very much like that gives off the Seven vibe, right? And you know what got me, Ryan? It was the simple idea of Jim Gordon walks into the crime scene and not too far behind him is Batman. And the banter between them about, you know, is like, does this look familiar to you? Or do you know anything about this?
A friend of yours or something?
Yeah. That to me felt right out of the comic book.
Which I'm getting the sense that because this is year two, well, it's not an adaptation of year two, it's year two in this Batman's story. I don't think Gordon's commissioner yet. I think he's still just a...
He's not.
Yeah.
So you're right about
that. Yeah. Detective, captain, I'm not entirely sure which, but...
And I got to say, Ryan, the suit in motion, properly lit, properly, you know, colored, it looks phenomenal.
So what you're saying is, like with every other superhero costume, let's not judge it based off of leaked set videos and photos. And
yeah, it's pretty much what I'm saying.
Yeah, I get it. I don't look down on people that, you know, have problems like that. To me, I've always seen like the leaked stuff, and I'm like, oh, that looks cool. I'll wait until we see it to fully judge. But I think
unless it's a purposely released production still from the studio. It's hard to judge spy pics.
There are. Because
it doesn't have the same treatment that it would get if it was being prepped for the film. You know? But it looks great. It looks great.
It does. I get it. Some people are tired of the armored padding look, and their concerns and their complaints are valid. I personally love the suit.
Yeah, I just don't think... I just don't think that, aside from, you know, a filmmaker like Zack Snyder, who is all about being as close to ripping, you know, comic panels and bringing them to life, most directors handling Batman will not put him in a cloth looking.
Yeah. Even though the Batfleck suit, it's comic book. I don't want to say accurate because accuracy is not everything, but, you know, it made the streamlined cloth fabric look work.
Right. Certainly. And it's not that it can't work. I just think. I think most filmmakers, 9 out of 10, when they take on Batman, will put him in some sort of protective armored gear.
If I was doing a bat, I would too, probably. At least for like a first movie, for like the first suit or something.
For a younger Batman that's tinkering, yeah.
I get
it. Interesting question I have for you is, we see the scene where he's driving through the cemetery. And then he ends up in the Batcave. So,
is the
entrance to the Batcave go through a cemetery?
I don't think so, only because the videos we got from the cemetery also had Catwoman involved too.
That's true. Maybe he lets her in.
No, I think that's one of those trailer clever.
Yeah, maybe he's like, screw it. Before Alfred lets her in, I'm gonna just let her in.
go up to Andy Serkis, Alfred. It's like, hi, Vic. Welcome. Come in.
Yeah, sure. Yes, come in. You want a tea? No, but the only reason I say that because somebody floated a cool idea out there on the internet, and I kind of like it. What if the entrance to the Batcave was somehow connected to his parents' gravesite in this universe?
And it wouldn't surprise me, but I always thought that the parents' graves would be on Wayne Manor ground, and that cemetery they were going through looked more like a public one.
Fair point. Fair point.
Yeah.
Fair point. I was impressed with the sound and the look of that car.
Oh, yes.
Again, in motion, that thing is a freaking beast. Loved it.
It's almost like they took the 66 Batmobile and put it on steroids.
Yeah. Yeah. Which is cool. And Then we got a glimpse of Batman fighting.
Mm-hmm.
Fighting is not the right word.
More like just that guy is going to be in the hospital for a couple weeks. Beating
the living daylights out of some criminal. And I'm talking about, you can hear the punches. You can hear the breaks.
I think we heard a couple bones cracking.
Yeah, yeah. It very much felt more along the lines of the Affleck brawler fighting style than it did the
Dark Knight
Thigh Bull ab workout that Christian Bale was doing with his hands beside his head, doing those ab crunchy things that he was doing in Nolan's voice. I love the fighting style from the glimpses we got of it. And when the guy says, when one of Penguin's, presumably Penguin's goons, says, "What the hell are you?" And so he beats up, he throws that guy eight punches, takes him down and throws eight, like in total eight punches. And then says, "I'm vengeance." And in my head, I'm thinking, all right. And the rest of the line, at some point in the movie, he says, "I am the knight, I am Batman," right? I'm like, come on, say it. Say it with every punch. One more phrase with every punch. But that was an awesome scene. And you know what? I like the voice.
Because it reminds me of, I say, Begins was still the best of Bale's voices. It sounded like a couple notches turned down version of that.
Yeah, it's almost like a hybrid of Keaton and Bale and Begins. But and then there's a shot at the end of the trailer where he's like rising from behind the like as they presumably check on their broken up friend. Batman rises from behind the gang, and I'm like, oh crap, when they turn around, the rest of them are shit out of luck. But what a trailer. I mean,
and something I've seen a lot of people make comment, and I want to add to it. This trailer was incredibly impressive for a film they only have 25% shot of. If they can make a trailer out of only 25% of a finished movie,
what's the other
70? Holy crap, yeah. What's the rest of the movie going to look like?
Yeah. I mean, Ryan, here's the best way I can say it. When I saw the first Batman Begins trailer, I watched it endlessly back in 04, 05, leading up to Begins. Or I lost count how many times I watched that trailer. That was my favorite Batman trailer to date. I think this one beat it.
Because I just love the music choice. It's
perfect. It just, and I think now everybody can officially stop with this sparkly Batman bullshit.
Oh, I'm trying, Joe. Joe's still on that bandwagon, but I think he's just doing it.
Did you like the trailer?
He said it was cool, but he just, I think he's just being snarky and being a bit of an ass. Which I get it, but he's still going on the, I bet he's going to sparkle at one point still.
Yeah.
But no, I've been on board Pattinson since day one, just like I was with Affleck.
Yeah.
And this was an impressive trailer. I hope that the rest of the movie carries the tone and feeling of just dark and grit and just
And the fact,
yeah.
And the fact that Matt Reeves was talking about how, in the series, the GCPD series or whatever it's called,
yeah,
is going to be in year one, and the cops are going to be dealing with like what Batman's up to.
Yep.
And how the citizens of Gotham are going to see him as this mythical figure.
So I don't think we're going to be getting a bat symbol or bat signal. But, you know, the ordinary citizens of Gotham will think, you know, this will be the urban legend Batman.
Oh, you mean in the show?
No, I'm thinking like even the movie, because since the movie takes place later, I still don't think we're going to get a bat signal.
Yeah, that'll probably be later on in the trilogy. Yeah.
And I just want to give it, and I really hope WB, the current administration at WB, doesn't chicken out for some BS reason like they did with the original DCEU plans, because I love that they are so committed to, you know, TV shows set in the Batmanverse, trilogy at least. Hopefully there's more than just a trilogy, but let's just see how it plays out. Spin-off movies. You know, I thought I heard somewhere them saying that they are at least entertaining the idea of the Batmanverse spreading out and touching other areas of
the movie. Yeah, they said that in the Hollywood Report, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, let just don't back out. Just let this beautiful tree bloom, for God's sakes. Let there be a DCEU proper that gets some theatrical releases and some stuff on HBO Max. I don't care. I will watch it all. Let the Batmanverse do the same thing. Like, now that they're doing what so many fans have done for years and officially embracing the multiverse.
Yeah.
Go for it.
Oh, yeah.
Go nuts.
Go full.
Be fruitful and multiply.
Full bore. Just go for it. Give me 30 Flashes, 12 Batmans.
I don't care. Have Henry Cavill be DC. Let there be another Superman.
Okay. So the Batman trailer gets an A+. But.
Oh, God, yeah.
Before we wrap up, here's my theory. And I know some people, you know, there's some. I know we as Superman fans may be slightly disappointed that we didn't hear anything regarding Superman.
Yeah. Superman's my favorite, and I was a little disappointed that there was nothing major announced.
However, two things to consider. A, there's going to be a lot of Superman panels on September 12th.
Mm-hmm.
There's like at least four. Second of all, regarding Superman on the big screen, I have a theory. So I'm going to put on my tin foil hat real quick. What if, Ryan, let's say HBO and HBO Max and Zach are having preliminary discussions about potentially a season 2.
Mm-hmm.
That would require Henry Cavill to play Superman, correct?
Mm-hmm.
When they announced that Henry is in talks to return as Superman, you know, the trades, some of the movies they mentioned he could be in were all movies that were somehow still connected to Zack Snyder's world, correct?
Mm-hmm.
So what if now with this Warner Brothers embracing the multiverse, they are going to decide that Henry will continue playing Superman in Snyderverse related projects.
Mm-hmm. Snyderverse, DC, DC,
yeah. Yeah. And then
let's get someone.
If the Batman is successful, they just say, you know what? Because of the multiverse, we can also have a fresh take on Superman.
Mm-hmm.
Because we know there's rumors out there that JJ really wants to do Superman.
Mm-hmm. And JJ would probably want to
cast his own guy, as any director would.
You know, and tell his own story.
Yeah.
So
what if that's what's going on?
You want to get nuts? Let's get nuts.
Exactly. And I think if that happens, I think Superman fans everywhere would be doing a conga line.
Oh my God, I'd be so happy.
So let's just, I know it's slightly disappointing.
Mm-hmm.
And I know we were all expecting, all right, so they're going to announce Henry, you know, this and that. Mm-hmm. Let's just give it some time.
Yep.
Let's.
I mean, it's not like we're short of Superman content. For the people that love the animated movies like you and Steve, you guys have Man of Tomorrow coming out. That's yeah. great. We're getting a Superman TV show in the Arrowverse. Right. I'm doing cartwheels because I'm so excited about that.
And you know it's going to go longer than one season.
Oh, of course.
I mean, what if the CW doesn't go more than one season?
I mean, you have to, like, truly suck to only get.
Nowadays, yeah.
Which, you know what? I'm grateful for, because I'm glad that all these shows have lasted as long as, and I hope that they last for longer.
Great. So,
building up on it, but go on.
Let's not get too
poor
on the lack of.
Yeah. And we are getting Superman and Justice League, you know, Zack Snyder's Justice League. So we're not lacking Superman content.
Yeah.
It's more of probably we want to see our boy Henry get, because he wants to do a proper, you know, solo sequel.
He does, but at this point, I think if they went to him and said, look, you can appear in the other, you know, like something like Shazam 2 or 3 or Black Adam. Uh-huh. And then we're also going to continue your story as the Snyderverse continues on HBO Max. I think he'd sign on for that.
I think he would too. Because I think it's getting... Because going back weirdly to what Andy Muschietti said about Ben Affleck and why he was so enthusiastic was mostly because he... alone doesn't have to, he can have fun with the role, he doesn't have to carry the
franchise, you know,
it's not all on his shoulders. He gets to share that burden with other people, but he gets to have fun with it. So it would suck not to have a proper Man of Steel 2, but I'm perfectly okay with Henry just doing what Marvel was trying to do with Hulk in the MCU, but doing it better. Let's put it that way.
Yeah. So, again, guys, you hold your head up high.
Mm-hmm.
I think there'll be news coming.
Mm-hmm.
With Superman.
It just wasn't ready for right now. So that's fine.
That's all. There's hope, and we're going to see him in Zack Snyder's Justice League. So look forward to that. But I think that about wraps up our look at DC Fandom Day 1. So, Ryan, if people want to continue discussing the events of Fandom, what do you think? Where can they do that?
You can find me on Twitter at The Amazing Rye Guy.
Awesome. And if you want to talk to me on social media, it's at Adam_LeafsFan on Twitter. And on Facebook, we have the Multiverse Musings Podcast Network Facebook page. So go there, ask for permission to join the group, and myself or one of my co-hosts will add you, and we can continue the discussion there. Until then, we hope you enjoyed this episode. We hope you enjoyed the trailers DC Fandom, and we hope that you will continue enjoying the DC Multiverse as we will. So long, everybody.
Take care.